Passages that I want to read. The first one's in Jude and verse 14, and as I've said, it's good to be with you. I have this opportunity of ministering the word of the Lord. Sometimes when you get to my stage, you get a wee bit confused, and I hope that'll not happen recently. A friend of mine recently told a story about the Japanese Prime Minister who was meeting the President of the United States of America. And it was Barack Obama, and they were teaching this Japanese Prime Minister some English, what he would say when he would come into the President's presence in the Oval Office. And they were teaching him to say, just come into the presence of the President and say, how are you? And he will respond, fine. And you will say, me too. How are you? Me too. Well, they were repeating this time and again to the Prime Minister. So the great day came, and he walked into the Oval Office, and Barack Obama was standing there to greet him. And instead of saying to him, how are you? He said, who are you? And Barack Obama said, I'm Michelle's husband. He said, me too. Well, we do get a wee bit confused as we get a bit older, but it's good to be with you this morning and have this opportunity of ministering the Word of God. I'm sorry I can't be here tonight, but I'm finishing a two-week mission with a man called Norman Painter, who belongs to the Brethren, and we're doing that mission in Drumcree, just near Drumcree. You know where that is, outside Portadown, and the Lord has been gracious to us, and souls have been saved and backsliders restored, and the wee hall has been filled very well every night. And so we're concluding that tonight. And so as you pray for your gospel tonight, do pray for us at 8:30 there up at Portadown. I want to read from Jude and verse 14. Jude and verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have murmured against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Come back to the book of Hebrews, please, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and reading at verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, and reading, please, at verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he shouldn't see death and wasn't found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then back to the book of Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, please. Genesis chapter 5 and the verse 21. Genesis 5 and the verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah, Genesis 5. And verse 21, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Keep your Bibles open there, please, at Genesis chapter 5. I want to talk to you for a moment or two this morning on this man who walked with God. An older couple of trouble remembering common day-to-day things. You know what it's like, don't you? And so they both decided that they would write down requests the other had in order to avoid forgetting. One evening, the wife asked her husband if he would like anything, and he said, yes, I'd like a large ice cream sundae made with chocolate ice cream. I'd like a taste of whipped cream at the top of it, and to crown it all, I'd like a little cherry right at the top. The wife started off for the kitchen, and the husband shouted after her, aren't you going to write it down? She said, don't be silly. I'm going to get it now. I won't forget. Well, she was gone for quite a while, and when she appeared into the lounge again, she appeared with a tray, and on that tray was a plate of bacon and eggs and sausages and a glass of orange juice. He took a look at her, and he said, I told you, you should have written it down. You forgot the toast. When it comes to the life of Enoch, I don't know how anyone could forget the impact that he has left through the printed page of Holy Scripture. Enoch's biography is compressed into 9 suggestive verses. And in those verses, 3 tremendous tributes are paid to him. From Genesis, we discover that he walked with God. Hebrews adds that he pleased God. Jude tells us that he testified for God, a full and a satisfying life. The name Enoch means dedicated. And where his name is placed in Scripture is most significant. Lamech, his contemporary, was the man who worshipped his sword, and he was number 7 in the Cainite genealogy. Enoch, the man who was dedicated to God, was number 7 in the Sethite genealogy. You see, there were 2 kinds of people on the earth in the days of Enoch. There were the descendants of Cain and the descendants of Seth. We have the record of Cain's kind in Genesis chapter 4. We have the record of Seth's kind in Genesis chapter 5. The line of Cain lived for this world. The line of Seth lived for the world to come. In order to show us Cain's kind, God takes us into the marketplace. In order to show us Seth's kind, God takes us of all places into the morgue. You see, all the way down Genesis chapter 5, we have got the tolling of the bell. We have this sad, this solemn refrain, and he died, and he died, and he died. Do you know what God was doing? He was proving the devil a liar. Don't ever forget this morning that God is true and the devil is a liar. The devil had said, "Ye shall not surely die." And God said, and he died, and he died, and he died. That is, until you come to Enoch. In Enoch, we have got something quite different. Instead of a tomb, we have got a translation. God does something absolutely new on planet Earth, something that he had never done before, but something that he most certainly intends to do again. God reached down from heaven and took a man bodily, literally, actually into heaven. I mean, Enoch went home without having to pass through the article of death. We could say this morning that Enoch lived on the verge of rapture. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about this man who walked with God. In the book of Micah, we have this question. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Enoch's life of walking with God is a beautiful picture of the entire Christian life. If I were to ask you to summarize this morning the entire Christian life, I wonder how you could do it. The entire Christian life this morning is summed up in 3 words. Salvation, that's how it commences. Sanctification, that's how it continues. Glorification, that's how it concludes. And so to say that Enoch walked with God carries with it, first of all, the thought that Enoch walked in. He walked in that salvation. Was Enoch always a believer? Did Enoch always walk with God? No, rather something happened in Enoch's life that caused him to walk with God. You know, a walk always has to have a beginning. Somewhere along the line, if you go out tomorrow morning for a walk, somewhere along the line, that walk has to begin. As far as Enoch was concerned, I want you to notice there was a reconciliation to God. Look at Genesis 5 for a moment and the verse 3. Genesis 5 and verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, that's a little different twist from what you have in verse 1. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Something has taken place now, hasn't it? Something has taken place. You see, sin has entered into the world. And here's Seth, and he's born in the likeness of Adam. He's born a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. He's born with that fallen, Adamic, corrupt nature in desperate need of a new nature. And of course, that Adamic fallen nature was transmitted to every generation that followed. Paul says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And if you look at Genesis 5:21, you'll discover that for the first 65 years of his life, this man called Enoch, he walked according to the course of this world. He was born of Adam's ruined race. Just as lost as the wildest and the worst of sinners, and yet somehow in that 65th year of his life, God broke into the life of Enoch. Somehow God came to Enoch and said, Enoch, there's a better world than this old world that you're living for. Enoch, if you trust me, if you live for me, I'll take you to a better world. And so Enoch was saved. You say, how was he saved? Well, look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Enoch had the same experience. It's the same experience that you and I have had. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. We are saved by grace. We are not saved because we walk with God, but we are saved in order to walk with God. That's salvation. Enoch walked in. He had a salvation experience. Maybe I should pause this morning and ask the question, what about you? Has there been that beginning point in your life? Has there been that point in your life when you realized that you were under the righteous judgment of God, headed for hell itself, a point where you needed Jesus Christ as Savior and you trusted Him as Lord and Savior? You see, salvation and walking with God carries this idea of reconciliation. God asked the question through Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? As far as Enoch was concerned, there was a reconciliation to God. But then if you look at verse 22 in Genesis 5, you'll discover that as far as Enoch was concerned, there was not only a reconciliation to God, there was a revelation by God. And Enoch walked with God when? After he begot Methuselah. You know, there's nothing that changes a family like the birth of a child. Things are going to be different when that child and that baby comes along. They sure were in our house and they sure were in your house. And life is never the same when children come. And many a person have realized their need of the Lord through the birth of a child. Well, that's exactly what happened to Enoch. Do you know what Methuselah's name means, Enoch's son? It means when he is dead, it shall be sent. When he is dead, it shall be sent. You remember what happened after the death of Methuselah? The flood came. There was this impending judgment. And it seemed as though God revealed to Enoch in a very special way that when this boy was born to him, Methuselah, that when Methuselah died, God's judgment would fall, the flood would come. I've got a feeling that every time little Methuselah kind of got a fever, Enoch kind of wondered, I wonder, is God's judgment on the way? Every time little Methuselah got the cold, maybe Enoch wondered, I wonder, is it time for God to deal with the world in judgment? Can you imagine this message had on Enoch, the effect that it had? Unsaved friend this morning, if God burst into your bedroom tonight and told you in some authentic way that the world would last only as long as the life of your child, would you not be deeply concerned? Would you not be exercised? Would you not be concerned about spiritual things? So it seems to have been with Enoch. For from that moment, he began to walk with God. Have you begun to walk with God? Has the goodness of God led you to repentance? My fellow parent this morning, have the responsibilities of parenthood made you cast yourself more and more on God? Alexander White, the great Scottish preacher, said, as child followed child, Enoch the father grew more and more with the growth of his house until he was not, for God took him. In other words, as Enoch's family grew numerically, Enoch grew spiritually. As Enoch's family grew literally, here was a man who grew in his intimacy with God. Tell me this morning, what way will your kids remember you? What way will your children remember you? I'll tell you what way I remember my father. On his knees before the Lord. I wonder, will they remember you as a parent growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as someone who walked intimately with God? Enoch walked in that salvation. Look at Genesis 5 again. Here's the second thing I want you to notice. Enoch walked with that sanctification. He walked in that salvation. He walked with that sanctification. Isn't that a beautiful way of describing the Christian life? What the Christian life is all about. The Christian life is all about walking with God on a daily basis. Sanctification is progressive growth in righteousness. Day by day, walking with the Lord. Day by day, becoming more like the Lord Jesus. Now, what does it mean when it said that Enoch walked with God in terms of daily living sanctification? Well, let me underscore one or two things through these passages. I want you to see from Genesis that he was familiar with God. Look at verse 22. Here's what it says. And Enoch walked with God. He was familiar with God. Now, I'm not using that word familiar in a cheap way. You know, there are Christians today and they're running about and they're talking about God as the body upstairs. God help them. Our God is the eternal, unchanging, awesome, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, self-existing, immutable God. And here's a man who knew God intimately. He walked with God. When? You people tell me today, well, you can't walk with God in the 21st century. May I remind you that Enoch lived in the days of Genesis 4, in the days of Genesis 6. There was polygamy, an attack on the family. There was pornography, an attack on society. There was brutality, an attack of values. It was a day that was so bad that God got disgusted with it all. He was going to scrap the whole lot and start all over again. He sent the flood and he got rid of that whole civilization. And yet, my dear friends, in the midst of this lawless, godless, sexually perverted society, here was a man who was walking holy unto the Lord. Ulster has turned pagan. Protestant Ulster has become pagan Ulster. You don't believe me? You go down the last Saturday in August when I do. Right to the center of Belfast. And every Saturday for the last number of years, I've stood outside the city hall with the Covenanters as they proclaim the gospel and proclaim God's standard of marriage. The abuse that is taken from that gay pride parade is awful. It started with 100 people. There was 100,000. Marching through the center of Belfast on the last Saturday of August. Ulster has become pagan, perverted, corrupted, and yet in the midst of this sexually perverted society, you and I can walk with God. And Enoch walked with God when? And Enoch walked with God why? Because he had a heart for God. He had a thirst for God. I want you to see that it doesn't say that God walked with Enoch. It says that Enoch walked with God. You know, I've got a feeling that one day Mrs. Enoch said to Enoch, what about going down to the supermarket and picking up some sirloin steaks and pecan pie? It sounds good. And Enoch jumped into his Jaguar and he drove off to the supermarket and he was like us faithful husbands. He was pushing that trolley down the aisle and he was throwing in those items and he was getting to the end of the row and he sees an old gentleman standing there and he's getting a little bit closer and he says to himself, why, you know that's Adam. You see, Adam was still alive when Enoch lived. And he says, "Excuse me, sir, but aren't you Adam?" And Adam replies, "Yes, son, what is it that I can do for you?" And he said, "You know, Adam, I've been wanting to ask you, what was it like before sin came into the world? What was it like before man tumbled to his fallen condition? What was it like in the Garden of Eden before the serpent came?" And I have a feeling that odd old man got a glint in his eye and tears in his eye, and tears welled up in his eye and glistened in the light of the sun as he began to say to Enoch, "O son, in the Garden of Eden before sin came, 2 times every day God came and we'd walk together, and in the morning God would come and we'd walk up to some mountain, some high mountain, and explore the wonders of his universe, and in the evening God would come and we'd walk into some luscious valley and we'd explore the glories of his creation, son, in the Garden of Eden before sin came." Walk, that's what it is to walk with God. And I've got a feeling that old Enoch said, "Well, if that's what it is to walk with God, I want to walk with God." Now let me ask you this morning, do you want to walk with God? Have you a heart for God? Have you a thirst for God? And Enoch walked with God when? And Enoch walked with God why? And Enoch walked with God what? I mean, what does it mean to walk with God? G. Campbell Morgan says, walking with God means that we're going in the same direction that God is going. You know, when you go out for a walk with someone, you have to walk at the same pace. And you have to walk at the same direction. You see, to walk with God, Enoch had to walk at the same pace, which meant a moment by moment obedience to God's word. And Enoch had to walk in the same direction, which meant a moment by moment surrender to God's will. Can you imagine how it was with old Enoch? Someone would say to him, "Enoch, let's go to this beer party." Someone would say, "Enoch, let's take a sniff of this glue." Someone would say, "Enoch, let's go to this dirty movie tonight. Enoch, how about jumping into this bed of lust?" And old Enoch would say, "No, no, no. I haven't got the desire for those things. I'm having the time of my life walking with God." What adjustments this morning do you need to make in order to walk with the Lord? Adjustments in your daily schedule, in your weekly schedule. Adjustments in your personal habits of Bible reading and prayer. I mean, how can you walk with God if you don't know the direction in which He's going? And the only way we can know the direction in which He's going is to prayerfully saturate our mind and our souls with His Word. And Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Think of it. He's not running ahead. He's not lagging behind. He's walking at the same speed. He's walking at the same step, in step with His God. When she lay dying, the wife of the famous missionary Hudson Taylor, Mrs. Hudson Taylor, turned to her husband and said, "You know, dear, for the past 10 years, there's hardly been a cloud between me and my Lord." C.H. Spurgeon once testified that he hadn't known more than 15 minutes out of fellowship with God. What about you this morning? Are you familiar with God in the right sense of the word? Enoch was familiar with God. From the book of Hebrews, I want you to see that Enoch was favored by God. Hebrews tells us that Enoch had this testimony before his translation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Indeed, in the Septuagint version in Genesis chapter 5, the phrase Enoch please walk with God is equivalent to Enoch, please God. The two expressions being treated as equivalent. Walking with God means living a life that pleases God. You know, you can't please everybody, especially the pastor. But I'll tell you this, you can please the Lord. I heard about an old politician who was getting on an airplane in the United States of America. And he said to himself, I think I'll make somebody happy and throw $100 bill out of the window. And then he said, I think I'll make five people happy and I'll throw $5 $20 bills out of the window. And then he said, I think I'll make 10 people happy and I'll throw $10 bills out of the window. And one old boy who was sitting behind him says, why don't you make everybody happy and jump out of the window yourself? You can't please everybody. But you know what? You can please the Lord. I think of another man who had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. His name was not Enoch, his name was Christ. For as God watched his son tread this scene of time, heaven opened and he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And so when we read of Enoch that he had this testimony that he pleased God, we can only come to the conclusion that in the sinful society in which Enoch lived, he lived like Christ. The touchstone of Enoch's life was this. Will this please God? Let me ask you this morning as a Christian, is your goal to please God? Does where you go please God? Does who you are with please God? Does how you behave please God? Is God pleased with your attitude to other Christians? Is God pleased with your attendance at this house? Is God pleased with your giving to the work of God? Pleasing God should be the purpose, the passion, the priority of our lives. From Genesis, we discover that Enoch was familiar with God. From Hebrews, we discover that Enoch was favored by God. From the book of Jude, we discover that Enoch was faithful to God. Here's what Jude says. And Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all. The only outlook for the world that Enoch saw was the Lord's coming in judgment. You know, I'm sure that Enoch's message wasn't popular in Adamic society. But nonetheless, he faithfully preached on coming judgment. He wasn't one of those ear-tickling preachers who watered down the truth for fear that someone might be offended. You know the type. My friends, do you know what our generation needs? Not political reform. Not social reform, not economic reform, not ecclesiastical reform. What our generation is starving for is an old-time preacher of the Word of God, full of the Spirit of God, armed with the Word of God, telling people about the coming judgment of God. But what a life. Pleasing to God. Faithful to man. But notice the order. Before we can witness for God, we must walk with God. Indeed, we'll witness more effectively if we walk more closely. Sanctification. Getting the picture? Enoch walked in. That's salvation. Enoch walked with. That's sanctification. Here's the third picture. Look at Genesis 5, verse 24. Enoch walked out, that's glorification. He walked in, salvation. He walked with, sanctification. He walked out, glorification, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In the book of Hebrews, we've got the Holy Spirit's commentary on this passage from Genesis. By faith, Enoch was translated that he shouldn't see death and was not found because God had translated him. Now, time is gone. Let me just make two observations in closing. In Genesis, we discover that Enoch was moved. He was moved to glory. He was not. God took him. In the 1960s, the United States of America introduced astronauts. In the 1980s, the Russians introduced cosmonauts. Can you see from Genesis 5 that Enoch was a was not? One day he was walking along and suddenly he was snatched. He was caught up. He was raptured, if you please. By faith, Enoch was translated. It means that God picked him up, carried him over, and set him down on the other shore. Paul says, one of these days the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Some of you have lost loved ones. Thank God there's a day of reunion coming. Caught up together. Separation is the order of this day. Reunion is the order of that day. Caught up together with them. When all of our little systems and sects will be over and we'll be caught up together with the Lord to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. One of these days, my friends, God's going to reach down from heaven and take home not just a champion but a church. Enoch was moved. He was moved to glory. Ah, but Hebrews tells me that he was missed. He was missed by society, for the Holy Spirit says in Hebrews 11, he was not found. They went looking for him. They suddenly realized the capital value of a man who walked with God. They suddenly realized that he was missed. Missed in society, missed in community, missed in the business world. He was sought, but he was sought in vain. Let me ask you a question this morning. You've been thinking about our dear brother Alec Reed, and I have precious memories of him. But let me ask you this question. If God took you home today, would you be missed? Would you be missed? Would this assembly remember you as a man or a woman who walked with God? Even today, thousands of years after Enoch's translation, his life, his labor, his legacy is still being remembered. D.L. Moody made a powerful impact on the United States and on the United Kingdom. One day, a man who taught Moody's class in Sunday school, his name was Edward Kimball. He began to get concerned for his boys in the class. I mean, he really got concerned. He wasn't just praying, Lord, save all. He really got concerned. And one day he walked into a shoe store in Boston where D.L. Moody was working. And he said, I walked into that shoe store to challenge Moody about his walk, to challenge Moody about his state before God. And he says, I stumbled over the boxes of shoes, and I hardly remember what I said to that young man, D.L. Moody, but there was a transaction that was wrought in his soul that day in the back of the shoe store. And Moody shook the world for Christ. He was down in Dublin one night in a house, and someone challenged him. It's yet to be seen what God can do in and through and by a man who's wholly surrendered to him. And Moody said, I'll be that man. And he shook America. And he shook the United Kingdom. And he moved to the city of Chicago, and he founded the Moody Memorial Church and the Moody Bible Institute and the Moody Press and a little cemetery in Northfield in Massachusetts. The body of D.L. Moody is buried, and on his tombstone are etched these words, Dwight Lyman Moody, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Listen, Mr. Moody's ministry is still living on today, and so is Enoch's. You walk with God, people will miss you. They'll miss you when you're gone. Mr. Preston lay dying. The family were gathered around them. The friends were gathered around them. They were weeping. He says, don't be weeping for me. I go to change my place, but not my company. I've walked with God on earth. Now he's calling me to walk with him in heaven. Each day by faith to life shall end. I'll walk with him, my dearest friend, till safe I tread the fields of light where faith is lost. In perfect sight, the man who walked with God, he walked in that salvation. Let me ask you this morning, are you saved? He walked with. That's sanctification. How's your walk with God? Oh, you say, I'm an elder, I'm a deacon, I'm a member, I'm a pastor. Listen, God's not interested. Are you walking with God on a daily basis? He walked out. That's glorification. One of these days the Lord is coming to take us home. Campbell Morgan tells a lovely story. A wee girl bouncing in from Sunday school one Sunday afternoon. And she ran in from Sunday school, and after hearing the story of Enoch, and she said, Mommy, we heard about a wonderful man in Sunday school today. And the mother said, well, what did you hear, dear? And she said, well, you know, Mommy, his name was Enoch, and he used to go long walks with God. And the mother said, well, dear, how did the story end? Oh, she said, one day, Mommy, Enoch and God walked on and on and on and on, that God said to Enoch, you're a long way from home now. You'd better come in and stay with me. He walked with God. He was not. God took him. Oh, for a closer walk with God. A calm, a heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Let's pray.